The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
Minutes after 12 midday, faster by. Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Max Radio through till 1. Get in touch by calling 66 13 68. You can text on 166 177. WhatsApp 0107 624 166 177 or email studio at maxradio.com. Tim, all day yesterday, were you there? Did you have fun? Did you get the most out of it? Did you enjoy your national day yesterday? What did you think of it? Did you have a good time? Now tell me, initial response to yesterday's Timwell Day. It's fair to say, no stars yesterday, no royalty, not even Scandinavian royalty. No Irish politicians. We had, I think the Mayor of Liverpool was there, Steve Rotherham. Do we need a star act, do you think, to point out this time last year? Of course, it was Princess Anne. But any thoughts on that, by all means, get in touch. Just a question, with the cost of living rising, does anybody from DEFA ever check the temperature of chilled freezer trailers coming off the Ben to make sure they're at the right temperature, says Terry Kay. Not aware of it, Terry. I would assume the retailers will want to know whether or not stuff is at the correct temperature. The various hauliers get hold of the trailers from this end. Of course, they're put on the other end by another haulier, tugged off this end, and then they go to the various retailers. But not heard of that, Terry. Anything behind the question? A message in from Ken, who just says to download the app for Ringo Parketing. Parking at Rundlesway Airport. It states iOS 13.0 or above will allow this. So my iPhone only has iOS 10. How can I pay for parking other than going to the terminal at the airport? I do believe you can pay by card over the phone or by text message, or you can go online. Ken, paid parking came into force on the 17th of May. Seems ages ago, doesn't it? You'll now have to use, it's a cashless system. Do you remember we went through all that, how difficult it was going to be to get something that took Manx pound coins? If you wish to pay at the airport, you can actually go inside the terminal building. There's 1 hour disc-free parking also available. The system replaces the barriers, which of course had been broken for a time. Then they found out they were indoor barriers and we were using them outdoors. So if you want to use the app, you need to download Ringo, available on Apple and Google Play as well. Find a space for your vehicle, enter the location number where you're parked on your phone or device and pay for the required duration. If you need extra time due to a delayed flight, the additional payment can be made online. The rates remain the same as they did before the pandemic. Maximum charge is £40, Ken. So that's the situation. You can pay inside the airport, but you can pay over the phone as well. On Man in Line now, Wolf's with us. Hi, Wolf.
Hi, it's just a very, very quick one. I've just been thinking about this. Government should immediately subsidise heating oil. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of very cold people this winter.
It's easy to overlook this because it's decent weather at the moment, but come the end of September, lots of people are going to be turning the central heating on, and that's when it's going to start to hit. How do you think they can do that? A cut in VAT or something like that?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, all right. I have never, ever in my life been to Tynwald. They could cut that out for the kickoff and give it to the people in the central heating fuel.
I thought you were going to say, Wolf, you'd never turned your central heating on.
I haven't. Very rarely. I've got insulation everywhere.
How bad do you think it's going to be for people as we get into autumn and winter?
Very, very bad. And I was going to suggest that they should actually subsidise road fuel. But then that's going maybe a bit too far. But if you do that, people is going to get, everything depends on the lorries, and they're paying, I don't know what, it's £2 a litre or something now to deliver in foodstuffs. It's ridiculous. And then they brought this law out. They want people to work and do work. And they've got even the big old diggers are making them use white road diesel. It's ridiculous. I've never heard such nonsense.
Well, the horse has bolted, hasn't it? Because red diesel, that rule came in, was it last year it came in, I think?
No, you can still get red diesel. The farmers get it, the fishermen get it, and if you've got a pleasure boat, you can use it in the pleasure boat. But you can't use it in your digger or tractor. Unless you're agricultural.
Okay, well, assuming that there is, I mean, Tim, they're a bright lot inside Tim. Well, surely, if they do need to subsidise fuel in some way or give people a payment to effectively subsidise fuel, then surely there's a way of doing it. So,
I would have thought so. And I mean, what does Tim will cost? You see what I'm getting at?
Oh, this point was made yesterday. I think Mr. Wannenberg said they can find an extra 30.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
They can find an extra $37 million for the Liverpool landing stage.
Yes. Well. Yes. Okay. But let's say Manx people doing a deal with Liverpool people. No contest.
Okay. All right. All right. Thanks, Will.
Okay.
All right.
Right, right.
All right. 13 minutes after 12. Tempting to put it to the back of your mind, but as it's decent weather now, obviously we're past the summer solstice. We are heading towards Christmas in terms of daylight and in terms of hours of sunshine. But it is warm, but the crunch will come later on, from the end of August into September. Think of those cold nights. Not long clocks go back on Sunday, October 30th this year. Hoptunays the week after that. We've only got the World Cup in Qatar to look forward to before Christmas. Imagine that. But it's obvious some people are going to make a choice of putting on the central heating because of the cost, certainly the cost of gas, certainly the cost of electricity and oil as well. Do you think it's something the government needs to look at? Yesterday, Mr. Wannenberg said, we need to make sure people don't fall through the gaps. We need to look after people. There are vulnerable people, people on fixed earnings, people who don't earn much, people who can't earn much. Is it government's responsibility to keep them warm? That's a fundamental of human existence, is to remain warm during the cold months. Any thoughts on the matter, then by all means get in touch. Lots of things were raised yesterday, and thanks to everybody who said hi. People who buttonholed me yesterday at St. John's, good to chat. A new tourist attraction in Ramsey, every road has its own roundel. With a 20 miles per hour in each one, says Graham. Take us a photo if you can. Graham, send that as well. Can anybody explain how parking works at the airport? I've got the app, but I'm unsure exactly what to do. I'm due to pick up somebody from the airport next Wednesday, but I need guidance what to do, says John in Farm Hill. Well, you can go in the free hour and go inside and park if you want. As long as you're there for less than an hour, you should be okay. In Finland, they've developed a sand battery, which stores excess energy from wind and solar power to heat homes and a swimming pool at times when there's no sun, says G. Send us a link to that. I've got a heart problem, says Paul in Ramsey. My heating is on 365 days a year. 12 months before, the price rises cost me over £3,000, says Paul in Ramsey. It's tempting not to think about it, but the crunch will come later on this year unless there's a big decrease in the wholesale cost of gas and oil. We run a gas power station. It uses a lot of it. Regarding Will's point, we can cut VAT on all products. The agreement allows this. Does this? Or do we have to follow the UK's rate of VAT? I keep hearing politicians claim we can't, but they need to read the agreement. A reduction in VAT on fuel and goods would go a long way to help people, says this correspondent, that correspondent on 824. My understanding was we couldn't. 284, that is. My understanding was we couldn't change our VAT rate because of the agreement with the UK. But I'm willing to be corrected, always willing to be corrected. Change this afternoon, by the way. No Alex in the afternoon. Chris Quirk is on from 3 this afternoon. And David's with us now on Man in Line. Hi, David.
Hi, I nearly said Stu then, sorry about that. What it was, it's remember that word, that are differences that make us different?
Yeah.
Remember that jig word?
Yeah.
And several jig words we had for the Isle of Man, you know, come to the Isle of Man, it's an enjoyable place to live. And, you know, it is, if anybody's listening out there, but like you say, and I was listening to Welfare about the rebate fuel, which was the red diesel. He forgot to say that if you have a tractor and you're in a sports organization, football club, cricket or whatever, you can still use the red diesel.
So sports organization can use their tractor.
Yeah, and our tractor never gets off the field at Blackberry Lane, if anybody's worried about it, right? Because what I was going to say was, Andy, that why can't some of the politicians exercise their expertise or ask to see that things are different? If there's going to be a problem, and there will be a problem in the winter time on rebated stuff, sorry, man, somebody's parking, please. Won't be a second. If there's going to be issues to do with people can't pay, how can we not, as a government, say to others, like, we could put you on a standing order, make that helpful for you, spread it across the whole of the year, and do something. And one thing I was going to ask you, too, was for your view of yesterday, a Timball Day, our national day. I didn't go. I was doing some work down the stadium for the football called painting, and I'm not much of a painter. Is that what do you think the population think now of the day, the politicians locally, never mind the national ones, you know, what are we getting? Are we getting Wilf is saying, are we getting the value for money?
I had a think about this yesterday because obviously I was chatting to some of the politicians and went for a long wander around the field and chatting. Of course, you often see people only once a year at Timball Day. So I was getting all the skeet. And I came to the conclusion, David, that everybody's got a personal view of what Timball Day is, i.e. I think you get out of it whatever you want to get out of it. And it's almost a bit of a barometer of what you think about the Isle of Man. Obviously, there are people there. It's a very Manx event, obviously, because all the voluntary groups are there and people are chatting and everybody's having a good, jaw about everything. So, but we were talking about this in the office this morning. Is it time for a reboot? Is it time to do something with it? Is it time to make it more relevant? Is it relevant enough at the moment? So, I mean, I'm open to all sorts of suggestions. What do you think?
Well, I think it needs a reboot. We're in the 20th century, aren't we? We're moving on. You've got the age where the internet's there and people are flashing things all around the world. And it was good to see some on Facebook where it was the Ministry of Justice, I think, had a Manx flag on their building. And I think there was one on the Parliament building in England, which didn't know whether it was an actual mock-up or whether it was actually the truth. But I believed it was because there was the Union Jack and the Manx flag there too. And some people, you know, even in Manxes in Australia and New Zealand, put flags on their houses and buildings and made it a day. But do now. And I, like Trevor, I used to put things of redress of grievance there. I never got any picked up there. Part of our oral history, and I don't see anybody picking Trevor's up. I don't know what all the were or all the other ones. There definitely needs to be somebody to pick up about, I think, the agency for healthcare in the Isle of Man. Are we getting a review needs to be done? Are we getting that value for money? And are we getting the service which the population of the Isle of Man wants?
Yeah, interesting. I think it's always worth talking about this. And I think at Timball Day is one of the things that the more you know about it, the more you can get out of it. It's just whether or not there's a section of the population that actually either doesn't know that much about Timball Day or even worse, doesn't care.
Well, yes. Yeah. Well, I think on the scale of, it's a bank holiday. It's time off with the family. Do you really want to go to Timball Day? And I'd love to see some youngsters come on, or younger people than me, and say, what did they get out of the day that weren't involved with it? You know, was it just, it was a bank holiday, so therefore my employer gave me the day off. And some employers in the Isle of Man didn't give them the day off, although it's our national day.
Okay. All right, David, thanks for calling. Yeah.
Bye.
Cheers now. 22 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. Annie dropped me a note just to say, could you mention that outside Ramsey Group practice yesterday, in the space of a few yards, I counted six discarded face masks on the ground and in hedges, just within a few yards of Ramsey Group practice. My daughter, who works on the Nobles site, has told me it's also littered with discarded masks. And these small items, of course, are very visible. I do wonder at the mentality of the individuals who are offered masks free of charge and they can't be bothered to either take them home or just put them in the bin, says Annie. Have you spotted any of these, particularly around medical sites? Have you spotted discarded masks anywhere? We'll look at some of the petitions from yesterday fairly shortly, but I just want to talk to you about organised criminal gangs. Not something we're troubled by much, or never were troubled by much on the Isle of Man, but Jamie Tomlinson, DI, Detective Inspector Jamie Tomlinson, has highlighted this, that the Isle of Man needs to take a collaborative approach to tackling organised crime gangs who are exploiting, typically, young and vulnerable people on the Isle of Man. Now, this is the thin end of the wedge, because once this sort of stuff starts, it takes hold. It's like a fungus. The message from police who are working with their counterparts in Merseyside in a bid to tackle the issue of what they call county lines. I never thought I'd be saying those words on Manx Radio. County lines on the Isle of Man. Now, DI Jamie Tomlinson of the Drug and Organised Crime Unit at Police Headquarters takes up the story.
Once those drugs do sort of hit our borders, if you like, our ports, they're then being disseminated, if you like, to, you know, the younger, more vulnerable people in our community, even sometimes vulnerable adults. And that's obviously, you know, that is something that we now want to try and tackle, using more partners and sort of new tactics, if you like.
What sort of impact is that having on them? And what sort of issues are you as the police seeing because of that?
Well, firstly, we know that our dealers are unscrupulous people. They will select people carefully that they know that they can exploit people that are either easily led or with learning difficulties or financial difficulties. They look to exploit them. And obviously, once they've got a hold on them, you know, you'll then tend to see a decline in let's say, if you take a young person, for example, you know, you'll find that they start becoming withdrawn. They may start, returning home with injuries. They may start being carrying weapons to protect themselves from any drug debts being enforced. There's a number of different sort of warning signs, really, you know, and we're finding that other people are now being forced into accepting parcels at their home addresses, which will contain drugs. They're being asked to put money through their bank accounts, so money will be laundered. There's a number of different things that are going on the island, and that, you know, they're the things that, you know, are that we're trying to tackle.
Maybe tempting just to say this doesn't affect me. If we're talking about vulnerable people or young people, people who may be struggling, you may be tempted to think, well, I live in a nice house in a leafy part of the Isle of Man. It doesn't affect me. It does. This affects absolutely everybody on the Isle of Man. The fact that young and vulnerable people may be targeted by criminal gangs importing drugs into the Isle of Man absolutely affects everybody, because, of course, there are drugs available on the Isle of Man. Of course there are. You go around every corner, drugs are available. Luckily, we don't have drug-related crime. It's very rarely somebody gets bashed over the head for £5, which they do routinely in urban conurbations and cities all over the UK, all over Ireland. It happens. It doesn't happen on the Isle of Man. But this is something that police are taking very seriously. I just wonder what your thoughts are where this is concerned, how we can make sure that young people and vulnerable people aren't targeted by these beasts, these savages, really, who can spot a vulnerable person a mile off. It's what criminals do. They can read body language. They know somebody who's vulnerable, somebody who needs attention. So how can we make sure that doesn't happen? Just when it does happen, it's a problem for all of us. It's a problem for the criminal justice system, problem for the Isle of Man prison, legal aid. It's a problem for all of us. And if it gets any worse, then it will cost a fortune to put right. But some thoughts, if you like, call, text, email, whatever you want to do. Yesterday, of course, it was Tynwald Day, and the petitions were presented. The Isle of Man's health service has insufficient funding, says Simon Mann. It hasn't been set up properly, and something urgent has to happen to fix the funding of the health service. Those concerns raised by Simon Mann yesterday at Tynwald Day. He believes Manx care needs to be completely reformed to serve the Isle of Man's patients properly. Simon Mann.
The Manx care, as we all know, was set up as the government's answer for our healthcare problems. But on their own admission, it's not constituted properly. They have very few powers. The mandate that the government gives them has been insufficient. And their funding is insufficient. Now, there's been a fundamental error being made in how it's been set up. And so my petition is to seek a change in that, to make it more akin to a primary healthcare trust. But to do that, the government is going to have to review how it operates and the people, the way it's staffed at the moment. But its health service is being run by people sitting at desks in England. That's not Manx care. How can you expect somebody in England to be running our health service here? And so it's no surprise that at the end of the first year of operation, they ended up with exactly the same deficit that was there before. And we've now got 130 extra people sitting on the inpatient waiting list at Nobles Hospital. Something urgent is going to have to be done about it. But they need to start with reviewing the whole constitution of Manx care.
You say there needs to be change. What does that change need to look like?
Well, it needs to look like a completely reformed Manx care. It's the business model of it that's wrong. Having the organisation there in principle is right, but you've got to fund it properly. Now, what the government has actually done is bought a Rolls Royce, but it's no idea how to drive it, and it's not putting enough petrol in. You've got this body in place, but it can't do what everybody wants it to do because the government hasn't set it up properly. It hasn't given it the right powers. It doesn't hold any of the properties, for instance. It doesn't have any legal assistance on its board, so it's dealing with all kinds of contracts and so on, and nobody there to properly advise it. The shortfalls are massive, so it's got to be changed now before it's too late. So I hope that the government will take on board this particular petition and make the necessary changes.
Simon Mann talking about his petition about funding the Isle of Man's health service. Another petitioner was Alison Ritchie, who handed a petition in calling for the health department to have an independent review body that deals with healthcare complaints.
Basically, DHSC have put forward regulations that are 16 years overdue, and they're replacing like with like, so I'd like it to be looked at.
If it's picked up, do you feel as though they would make the changes that you're petitioning for?
I would hope so. The duty of candour regulations were finally introduced into the Isle of Man last year. They've been going into the UK since 2014. Since they've been introduced, Manx Care's reported in the last year, there's been 20 candour incidents at Nobles Hospital, six of which related to patients that died. So I would hope that someone would pick this petition up and look at health complaints very seriously. Recent press in relation to the Dr. Ransom case has shown how they treat their own. My mother died and I raised a complaint, and I can tell you that they treat complainants a lot worse than their own staff. I feel very sorry for the staff and the patients that have suffered harm and bereavement, have had to raise a complaint through DHSC.
Alison Ritchie talking about the process of dealing with healthcare complaints. If it's something that affects you, then by all means do get in touch. Jeff dropped a note in, just said, regards to the increased cost of fuel, electricity and gas, I sympathise with people. But is it not back to priorities and old-fashioned, good old-fashioned housekeeping? And by that I mean, I do think pensioners and people on benefits might need a helping hand. But if people can afford a 50-inch television and the latest iPhone, I don't see how they can claim that they're on the poverty line. Is this not just about prioritising your finances and deciding what's more important? Just my thoughts, says Jeff. Also, somebody asked about the private patients unit at Nobles. The former health minister, David Ashford, said last week, I think it was, that there's still a desire to have a private patients unit at Nobles. Laurie Hooper had listed a number of reasons for the delay in developing a private patients unit at Nobles Hospital, with measures needed because of COVID foremost. And a message in for somebody messaged and just said, when's Claire Barber on? Claire will be on in a couple of weeks' time. She's on 2 weeks next Monday, the 25th of July. Claire Barber has been a little under the weather recently, but she'll be on Monday, the 25th, the DEFA minister. The government's focused more on free wilding for bugs and insects, more than on encouraging our farmers to grow food. I think they're giving today's younger farmers grants that are just encouraging the waste of good agricultural land, because there are so many weeds in fields these days. At one time, farmers were fined for weeds, what we now call wilding. There needs to be a more focus from DEFA on animal husbandry. There's no one in DEFA that's qualified to inspect a potato crop anymore, is that so? Which used to be a requirement for all growers. There's nobody in DEFA who can inspect a potato crop. If you're paying out taxpayers' money, then it should be monitored better. And as for the red tractor, says Marie, too many rules in the wrong places. Let's just go back to that these petitions. An employee at the children's charity is asking for a better method of patient transfer. Little Piece of Hope member is Helen Wormsley, and Helen, Little Piece of Hope helps parents accompany their child for treatment across. Helen says getting funding to help these people is becoming difficult, especially since government doesn't help much.
Currently, a child can have one parent travelling with them unless it's exceptional circumstances, and then they can have two parents travelling with them. So we had a parent and child who came to us. They were declined two parents travelling. 5 or 6 weeks later, they'd appealed, and through a lot of stress, they finally got a yes answer. They were then told, even though it was a yes on this occasion, they would have to constantly reapply every time they have a hospital appointment. Now, this can be 3 or 4 hospital appointments a year. For some parents, it can be more than that. So we'd just like an easier decision-making process.
How stressful is it for these families when they faced with the situation?
You know, they've got a sick child, they've got to live with that on a daily basis, and then they can only have one parent travelling. It's a lot of stress on the entire family. And for us, we support funding, and we will fund for a second parent if those parents aren't eligible. But we don't want parents who are eligible to slip through the cracks and not receive the funding they're entitled to.
I was talking about funding. How difficult is it for an organisation to get that funding?
It's really difficult. We're here at Timmall today fundraising. You know, we do a lot ourselves, and you don't get a lot of help and support from the government. You know, if the government don't fund for the second parent when a child is entitled to two parents travelling, it falls on us to pay for that parent, and it's not cheap going over to hospital appointments. You've got the plane fare, you've got food costs, you've got living costs. Recently, we had another situation where the child wasn't entitled to two parents going over. We paid for a second parent, and the cost of the flight for that parent was £200. Hotel costs can be between £50 and £100 a night. Then you've got food costs for a day's stay. You could be talking £20-30. So if for a week, you're talking a couple hundred pounds. We've had to put people onto a waiting list. We've got about 15 on the waiting list. Currently, we're able to fund a fair few, but we have had to say we might not be able to fund you this time.
That's Helen Wormsley from Little Piece of Hope talking about the a better method of patient transfer, helping parents accompany their child for treatment across. Before that, you heard Alison Ritchie talking about an independent review body for healthcare complaints, and Simon Mann talking about basically funding our healthcare system better. It has insufficient funding, and that Manx Care needs to be completely reformed. Andrew's with us now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, good day to you, Andy. I just wanted to touch on something which I observed yesterday at the ceremony, and in respect of the Manx Labour Party. And I'm wondering if perhaps somebody can come on and explain the Manx Labour Party's stance in respect of the constitutional relationship with the UK. I'm on their website at the moment looking at the Manx Labour Party manifesto, and I don't see anything highlighted in there that explains what their position is in respect of the constitutional issue and the Lieutenant Governor. And why I raise this is because yesterday it was quite evident and noticeable that when the members were being called off the hill, Joni Farragher was there, stood in front of the governor, and did not bow her head. She totally disrespected him. So is this a stance of Joni Farragher that she disrespects the governor, or is this from the Manx Labour Party, bearing in mind she is, I believe, the chair of the Manx Labour Party? So do they have a policy on the constitutional relationship and that the Manx Labour Party disrespects the Lieutenant Governor?
Well, Joni Farragher, I think, is the leader. Chair is Sarah Maltby, isn't she?
Well, as far as I was, when I was looking, she did bow her head.
Right. So Sarah Maltby did, and Joni Farragher didn't.
Correct. She completely disrespected the Governor. So that's my question. So I'll leave that open. Thanks, Andy.
Oh, and thank you for buttonholing me yesterday as well, Andrew. It was very good to see you. Do you have a good day anyway?
Sorry, that was the other aspect, wasn't it? I forgot about that. How do those members reconcile having been in the chapel yesterday for prayers when they voted against that? So, you know, it's... one of those things, isn't it?
These are the members of Keys who wanted a different type. They wanted, didn't they want a pause for reflection before Keys instead of prayers?
Some of them actually didn't want prayers. And from my memory, it was an amendment so that there's now a pause for reflection. Or is it that they don't actually have to attend for the first 3 minutes whilst prayers are being dealt with? I don't remember, but anyway, I noticed they all attended and went in the chapel, and whereas if that's their stance, then they should have just stood outside and waited.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Andrew.
Cheers then.
All right, 21 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Lots of comment today, including county lines, says Texter 960. When you make the Isle of Man like any other town in the northwest of the UK, surely expect all the problems that come with it. Perhaps it's down to uncontrolled immigration that we have at the moment. It's not uncontrolled immigration, is it? You can't certainly you have to go through the work permit system, and nobody can just come in and claim benefits. So, but point taken anyway. Timald Day, I think, says Treble O. Timald Day will mostly naturally die out in time if meaningful reforms aren't made, as younger generations are broadly indifferent and disconnected to the pomp and ceremony of the event, in my view. Well, it's a good point. Do things need to change to embrace younger people who, A, perhaps don't understand, perhaps don't even see the point, perhaps don't even understand the difference between the Isle of Man in UK? Do you think enough is made of that?
This is the Isle of Man talking, the man in line.
In our quest to remove all single-use plastic from our milk packaging, Isle of Man Creamery cartons, including the new 1.75-litre carton, are now 100% recyclable, made from sustainable and renewable sources. We're the first in the British Isles to offer these new large cartons, and you can pick them up now in local retailers or add them to your Isle of Man Creamery doorstep delivery. Plant-based cartons from Isle of Man Creamery. Better for the environment, better for you.
Love your top. Where did you get it?
That new place, the Electric Convective?
The what?
Oh, it's great. They've so much. Men's and women's clothing and footwear, school uniforms, plus vintage collectibles, handmade things, and such amazing value.
Do you mean the Eclectic Collective at Balfane Estate?
That's the place.
Top fashion brands like Converse and Skechers to jewellery, crockery and more. Search the Eclectic Collective Balasella on Facebook or call 339 807.
The Eclectic Collective. Remember the name.
Every drop is precious. Water. So easy to take it for granted, isn't it? Our reservoirs supply the needs of our island, but with the effects of climate change, that's becoming more challenging every year. Manx water is the only water we have, so we need to make every drop count by using it wisely, at home, in the garden, and in general. Visit manxutilities.im to find out how you can begin smarter living, to lower energy bills and reduce your impact on our island environment.
So, Scarheart, we meet again. The forces of Ifil might have thwarted our first show, but you should know by now that you just can't keep a good dick down.
Dick Barton! How did you escape my death contraption? Luckily, I have a master plan to oversaw England once and for all.
Will Barton finally overcome the forces of Ifil? Find out at the Gaiety Theatre from the 14th to 16th of July for the next exciting installment of Dick Barton Special Agent in association with the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Hello, this is Howard Kane. If you're curious about what's in Spotlight, Manx Radio's arts programme every Wednesday evening, wonder no more. It's a bit like this.
It's a sense of the absurd, which I love. It sort of makes you go, ooh, what's that?
I'd always wanted to write a novel.
I'm a ghost, invisible to one and all.
You know what I see in this?
Mm-hmm. Still curious? Then tune in every Wednesday at 6 or download the podcast and listen at leisure. Spotlight, here on Manx Radio, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com. Helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and a green future.
18 minutes before one. Faster Mike, good afternoon. Hi, Vivian.
Hiya. You got on about there isn't an independent review body.
That was one of the petitions yesterday.
Yeah, well, there is, because we've got a complaint about Manx Care, and we've sent it to the independent review body.
Okay, without going into too much detail, was that an easy process to do? Did you have any help, or did you have to do it all yourself?
We had to do it all ourselves, Andy.
Okay, and how long does the process take between you putting it in and some sort of resolution?
Well, it isn't resolved yet, Andy, because that's why we're having to do an independent review body.
Okay, what was the process? And again, don't go into details, but by the time you were not happy with the situation that you found yourself in, how long did it take before you could actually make the complaint? Did you have to go through any hoops? Did you have to explain it to people?
Yes, we had to complain to the quality safety team at Nobles.
Okay.
And now we're going to independent review body.
Okay, and when does that happen?
When we first started, they passed away in August, and we're still going ahead.
Last August?
Yes, last August, yes.
Okay. All right, Vivian. Well, all the best with that. And just keep us informed as to what happens, okay?
Okay. Well, does anybody want the address for it?
Yeah, by all means, give us the address.
It's P.O. Box 281 Douglas Isle of Man.
Okay. And that's, what's it called? The Independent Review Body?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Vivian.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, Chris dropped a note in and just says, I think that medicinal cannabis may be in sample by the government. Fuel prices may be high, but the government-owned steam packet, well, it's publicly owned steam packet, but we get the point, the reality of tourism appears to be on different planets. I figured out to bring out two friends to the Manx Grand Prix as foot passengers is £245. Is that return, in which case that'll be, what, £120 each return, to bring a motorcycle, £397. Now, Dr. Allenson was talking about expanding the TT, compressing the Manx Grand Prix, and getting 500,000 visitors a year by 2032. Now, the two premier events in the Manx calendar are made possible by volunteers. A lot of volunteers who actually come to the Isle of Man, but they're getting priced out of it. The reality for visitors is that, says Chris, I think it's too expensive. The reality for residents are that we're being trapped by a government that I think is out of touch with reality, which prompts me to tell you that from next Monday, big day next Monday, Monday the 11th, the Southern 100 starts, and you get all the action on AM 1368 kilohertz. Southern 100 from next Monday the 11th on AM 1368. 1368. And just a quick plug, I just want to remind you that it's the KPMG Prom Relay on Douglas Promenade. Starts 6 o'clock this Friday. Manx Radio's Paul Moran will be there comparing the whole thing. Since the relay began in 2013, the event raised £70,000 for various Manx charities. This year, the event's going to be staged in support of Project 21, which is a Manx campaign established by 5 local charities that support people with learning difficulties. Relay teams of between 2 and 4 runners will compete a 4-leg course totaling 10 kilometres. There's also an additional 5-kilometre solo race available. 100% of the entry fees go to Project 21. Now, if you want more information, go to my.raceresults.com/202888. Snappy, eh? To enter, or you can search KPMG Prom Relay. Entries close midnight tonight. Minimum entry age is 12. That's the entries close midnight tonight for the KPMG Prom Relay on Douglas Promenade, starting 6 o'clock this Friday. I wonder whether Paul Moran's doing it.
With over 30 years' experience delivering all types of products to and from the Isle of Man for private individuals and businesses, both large and small, Brakewell's is a name people can trust. As specialist island hauliers, we offer a dedicated speedy service by driver-accompanied vehicles with no transshipment. We also offer secure inland storage facilities at excellent rates. For all of your delivery requirements, make Brakewell's your first choice. Visit brakewells.com. Brakewell's. 50 years serving the islands.
When you save a little money, it means a lot these days.
If you're looking for bathrooms and tiles, you'll always find something new in store at Pacesetter. For surprisingly affordable prices and excellent choice, search online for Pacesetter Douglas. Or better still, visit the Pacesetter Bathroom and Tile Showroom on Harris Terrace and see the new styles in store.
You can get the best of it.
Welcome to Castletown, as we get ready for the sporting event of the summer.
Yes, indeed, Brian. The 51st World Tim Bath Championships kick off on Saturday, July 16th at 2:30pm.
Don't miss the action as dozens of athletes take to the water. And thanks to the man-powered flying competition, take to the air too.
Well, briefly.
The World Tim Bath Championships, Saturday 16th of July in Castletown, Middle Harbour. All proceeds to charity.
Supported by IFGL and your nation station, Manx Radio.
In this world, there's nothing more valuable than knowledge. So stay up to date with what's happening on the Isle of Man with Manx Radio's update. Compiled from the resources of our 7-day-a-week newsroom, the biggest newsroom on the island. It's accurate, it's to the point, it's the Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update with Andy Wint. This evening at 5:30 on your smart speaker, on air, online, or subscribe to our podcast at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, the world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
Faster, my good afternoon, 11 minutes before, and loads of reaction on the texts and the emails. And just regarding people on fixed incomes, Kay just needs to say, first of all, Manx Care don't care, says Kay. It's just a change of name. The hospital I don't think is any better than before. I just come out of hospital, but I didn't feel confident, says Kay on 370. And a note in from Des who just says, as for your listener who said manage your finances, I'm a pensioner, says Des. Living comfortably at the moment, but if prices keep going the way they are, it reduces my financial status. These prices, I think, are government induced around the world by bad policy. And a message in from Davina, who says, I'm tempted to... Davina's obviously a Dickens scholar, because she quotes Wilkins Micawber from David Copperfield. Just says, we do well to remember what Mr. Micawber said, the Micawber principle in Dickens. His advice in David Copperfield was this: annual income £20, annual expenditure £19, 19 shillings and 6, result happiness. Annual income £20, annual expenditure £20 and 6 pence, the result is misery. The point being that if you have money, and if that amount of money isn't important to you, even being £10 short isn't important, then perhaps realise to some people £10 is really important, very important. Perhaps people on fixed incomes. Chief Minister said it yesterday at Tynwald. Many people, many politicians said it yesterday at Tynwald. There is a crunch coming. There are problems coming down the line regarding the cost of living. And even though it is a wee while away and those big heating bills won't be arriving till the end of the year, they will come if the situation stays as it is. Would the earlier contributor, this is Pam on 828, thank you Pam, would the earlier contributor advocate a means test for people to get financial help for fuel? If any are found to have something considered a luxury, purchased when the owner had been better off financially, would they then have to sell it or replace it with something cheaper? What happens if the item couldn't be sold? Thank you, Pam. It's a slippery old slope, isn't it? Gary said, Andy, I'm disappointed that the Isle of Man only letting one parent go with the sick child. The government wastes so much of our money on silly things. It's time to put a stop to it, says Gary. Why do we have to bow our head to the Lieutenant Governor, says this correspondent on 399. Why should we, when there's no need in 2022 to be overseen by our colonial masters? Perhaps overstating the case, colonial masters is a bit extreme, but we do have a lieutenant governor. There doesn't seem to be any movement on the Isle of Man not to have a lieutenant governor. Lots of people seem to be very happy that we have a lieutenant governor, and the protocol is that the politicians will nod their head, bow even to... Remember, the lieutenant governor is the representative of the Queen. It's not the person, it's the post. Karen dropped me a note just to say, regarding the cost of fuel, we have oil central heating. We use 2,500 litres a year. Last year, last April 2021, 1,000 litres of oil cost us £478. January 2022, 1,000 litres cost us £660. End of May 2022, we paid £1,095. Our state pension between my partner and I, we had an increase for the whole year of £300. We live in a Manx stone end of terrace place with high ceilings. We only heat the lounge and diner, our bedroom on the first floor, which we've installed secondary glazing. Our heating is on no higher than 62 Fahrenheit. We turn off the heating at the end of March and don't turn it on till the end of November. I'm also registered disabled, says Karen, and we will become housebound because there's no money for fuel for the car, £2 a litre. My partner walks to the shops. We've turned off our mobile phones. We worked hard all our lives, even taking second jobs to avoid claiming benefits. I don't want to go cap in hand to the government. That's Karen. I wonder how many people are in that particular situation around the island. If it's you, then by all means get in touch. And I don't know whether you wonder what the government can do, or indeed if it is the government's job to do something about this. Dick said, well, he's right about Manx Cares. This Simon man, but does it have a legal assistance? There are more lawyers and accountants in health than doctors. And do Manx Care get enough money? Well, they may get enough money, but where do they spend it? It costs £5 million to bring management from across for Manx Care, with many living in England. They also rebrand everything with Manx Care stamped on everything, plus a new media suite and communications department full of advertising geniuses. But there was no mention of patients in any of this. Surely patients are the first priority, because without patients, you wouldn't need Manx Care. And Jeff said, Andy, look, as a taxpayer, why do the taxes have to go to the Isle of Man Creamery? Well, Jeff, we'll get to the bottom of that. Why do our taxes have to go to Isle of Man Creamery? Some more messages from this. Surely Andrew's answered his own question. If one Manx Labour Party MHK acknowledged the Lieutenant Governor and one didn't, then clearly there's no line in the matter. This is the story of Joni Farragher and Sarah Maltby yesterday that Andrew observed.
Mm-hmm.
And text to 572 says, thanks to Andrew for confirmation that Labour Party members and others went into the chapel yesterday. So were there objections to prayer, just grandstanding? If not, surely they would have made a point standing outside yesterday. I think it's hypocrisy, this. I can show you a quote of £450 per person for Homestay 2023 room only. How can fans afford this, says our correspondent on 223. Timmel's just a pageant, makes MHVs feel like they have power. Where are they run from? Des, tell us more if you know it. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. Back tomorrow at high noon. WINT.